All right, let's jump into The Wicked Son. We saw yesterday, we looked at the connection between the Chacham and the Tipesh, the what we now call the Tam. Now we're going to look at the Rasha, and he's sort of linked to the other characters, the She'eino Yodea Lish'ol, the one who doesn't know how to ask, because they both get the same answer, actually, but in a very different context and force. And they both don't really ask a question. Obviously, the one who doesn't ask a question doesn't ask a question, but we'll see also that the Rasha, as we saw earlier this week, he doesn't ask a question, he makes a statement. The Torah doesn't use the word Shoel, but rather Omer, instead of ask, say. So let's take a look, and we'll see it inside, and we're going to see the variety and the other versions of the four sons. Some great objections by the evil son that you may recognize from your own Seder table. Rasha, this is just from the standard classic Haggadah. Rasha Mahu Omer, what does the evil son say? Maha Avodah Zot Lachem, quoting Exodus 12, 26. We saw that on Monday, the four places where these questions show up. But again, I put on the bottom just to remind us, he said, Vaya ki yomru alechem b'nechem, when your children say to you, Maha Avodah Zot Lachem, and supposed to ask you. So that might be the force of this. They're saying like, you know, what is it about all this work? And then lachem to you, but not to him. Below low, lufisho tziratzmo min haklal, since he took himself out of the collective, kafar biikar. He has denied the fundamental principle. It's not clear exactly what that is, but this is a major problem. He is not part of the group anymore. And it doesn't seem to be just a grammatical slip, but perhaps something much more serious. Now, I think there is a play on words here with Hotzi. He took himself mina klal. You know, this is Yitziat Mitzrayim that we're talking about tonight. But for the Rasha, it's not. He's not going out from Egypt. He's going out from us, from the community. So there is a Yitziah, but it's just a different kind of Yitziah. So then you should blunt his teeth, hake et shinav. We'll maybe take a look at some sources on that strange expression. You should blunt his teeth and say to him, now you quote a different part of the Torah. The other answer is on account of this, that God did for me in my going out of Egypt. It's etimi mitzrayim, leave lo, me and not for him. If he was there, he wouldn't have been redeemed. Okay, so that's the base text that we're looking at from the Haggadah. Let's take a look at it in the Michilta, again, these Midrashim that we were looking at in parallel to our Haggadah text. Rasha Omer, Ma Avodah Zot Lachem, same question. Now we get the answer, Lefi Sheotziot Atzmo Min HaKlal, since he took himself out of the community, out of the collective, instead of Kafar Beikar, we get Af Atotzio Min HaKlal, so you too should take him out of, sort of, you should take him out of the collective. He took himself out of the collective, so you seal the deal and take him out of the collective, and then you get a double play on words of the Hotzi, right? God is Hotzi at, Otanami Mitzrayim. He is Hotzi at Atzmo, and we are Hotzi Oto. Everybody's going out, but he's going out from the collective. And say to him, Bavur ze asa Adonai li, li below lecha. Here it's a direct address. Me, God took me out, but not you out, lecha, as opposed to lo. If you had been there, you would not have been redeemed. Okay, now that's the sort of shorter version. You don't have the blunting of the teeth. You don't have the kafar bi'ikari, violated fundamental principle, but you just have the twinning of he took himself out of the community, so you take him out of the community. And that's represented by he wouldn't have been in that yitziah, in that going out that was original to leaving Egypt. This is a standalone drasha, actually, that shows up on the verse of Bavur Zeh Asad and Aili in the Michelta itself, which gives rise to the theory that the Rasha, the evil son, is actually not part of the original sons. You have the Chacham and the Tam or the Tipesh, we saw yesterday how they're linked, and the She'eino Yodea Lish'ol, he just doesn't know how to ask a question, so maybe he's with the sophisticated question, the less sophisticated question, and the non-question, they're linked. And the Rasha sort of stands off to the side and then is brought in when you're looking for four sons. But there might have been a situation, although we don't have a textual evidence of this, of three sons originally, and then the fourth son is the Rasha who gets folded in. So this is, I just brought you the Hebrew, you don't have to see it, but same Midrash in a different place in the Michelta, but stand alone related to the Rasha. So that's an interesting possibility that Rasha himself was just sort of added in. It's sort of an opposite of Hotzioto. Instead of kicking him out, we actually brought him in to the list of four when naturally he doesn't belong there and he's sort of hanging out by himself, at least in the Midrashic tradition on the side. That's the Mechilta. Let's look at the Rishalmi. I love this because it's so real. Ben Rasha Ma'u Omer. So same setup. Ma avoda azot lachem, what's this service to you? But then the Yerushalmi expands on his question or complaint and doesn't just say, what is this service to you, implying to you and not to me, but goes on a little bit and says, ma torah hazeh shatem matrichim aleinu b'chol shana v'shana, what is this bother that you're bothering us with every year, right? In other words, he's literally, you can imagine him sitting at the Seder table and saying, like, I don't get it. Why are we here every year? This is driving me crazy. And all the bother, if you think of Tircha, the bother and the trouble that comes along with making Pesach, it's a reasonable objection. Here it doesn't seem like he's kofer bi'ikar. He's really, you know, taking a fundamental stance against Judaism, but he's really wondering what is all the craziness that is associated with this holiday. It actually is an expanded version of this question from the Yerushalmi that's quoted in one of the medieval authorities in the Abu Draham. He takes the question, he has a version of the Yerushalmi, it seems, that takes the question even further. Why are you bothering us every year? And why are you delaying the meal? Like, why are you doing all this talking when I'm hungry? Which takes the Rasha out of he is starting his own religion on the side, to he's just a grumpy guest, kind of like the rest of us sometimes. And he also says, and why are you mixing the Simchat HaChag? Like, this should be a joyous event, and you're sort of dampening the joy. Joy is often associated with eating food. And so, like, why are you slowing things down by not bringing out the main course? And then we get the response, which is more or less the same. Mikivancho Hotzia Tzmo Miraklal, since he took himself out of the collective, so you also say to him, Vorze Asad Maili, So, you know, this is actually referring to him in the third person. God would have taken out me, but not that guy, meaning you. If he had been there, meaning you had been there, you wouldn't have been fitting to be redeemed. Okay, so that's the question, the expanded question from the Rasha in the Yerushalmi, that's maybe a little bit more relatable, as opposed to I'm kofer bi'ikar, I'm rejecting the entire enterprise of Judaism. Let's just take a little look at the Hakei et Shinav. Notice Hakei et Shinav, to blunt his teeth, is not in these versions in the Mechilta and the Rishali, but it is the one that shows up in our Haggadah. So what's interesting about this phrase is that it seems like a harsh phrase. When it shows up in our sources, it actually is going the other way. It seems to indicate the child who is embarrassing, who is blunting the teeth of the parent. The son is blunting the teeth of the father. And you get this in a quote from Ben Sira, that sort of Second Temple era extra canonical text, but still has a lot of resonances in our tradition, in a whole chapter about how you should treat your son. Don't laugh with him or you'll have sorrow with him. And in the end, he will blunt your teeth. The son is going to blunt your teeth, which seems to be some stand-in for embarrassment. And you see this with Midrash in Sanhedrin, Ben Kehat, talking about Korach, who's Ben Kehat, his ancestor Kehat, they're identifying with Hakei, Ben Sheikashinav, Shine Molidav, a son who blunted the teeth of his parents. Okay, so you have again, what the blunting of the teeth is something that seems to come from the child to the parent. And so as we read it in our Haggadah text, the parent is just responding in kind by blunting the teeth, i.e. embarrassing the child who already embarrassed the parent. There's sort of like a tit for tat, I think, that's going on here, where the child embarrassed him by taking himself out of the collective, and the parent is just responding. You can see some of the ways in which this shows up in a longer Gemara here, which we're not going to read. But again, it seems to be embarrassing the parent as opposed to embarrassing the child. That seems to be what this is. And it's taken from a quote in Jeremiah, which describes sort of a saying, in those days they shall no longer say, parents who have eaten sour grapes, or as Robert Alter translates, unripe fruit. Parents who have eaten unripe fruit and the children's teeth are blunted. This is where the sin of the parents flows down to the children. This is where you're going to get the the children being impacted by the parents. So that's something that that's no longer going to happen anymore. Kids won't be punished for the sins of their parents, but rather everybody's going to die based on his own sins and everybody will be responsible for themselves. So whatever, however you look at this phrase, Hakeyat Shinav, it seems to be a relational rejection. That is to say, if the parent does something offensive, the child pays for it. Or if the child does something embarrassing, the parent pays for it. And the blunting of the teeth is, you know, you get embarrassed. You don't have the sharp teeth that you would have had otherwise without that. So you can take that phrase and apply it to your Seder as you wish, but it's sort of less physically, you know, it's sort of like, think about it, like smack him in the teeth. That's not exactly what it is. It's more about a stand-in for being embarrassed by your kid.